Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
Today we celebrate the memorial of dedication of the basilicas of Saints Peter and Paul in Rome. Saints Peter and Paul are traditionally honored as the founders of the Church of Rome. And on June 29th each year, we celebrate the solemnity of those two apostles. Today we celebrate the places of worship which were constructed over their tombs. Our English word basilica derives from the Greek words basileia, which means kingdom, or basilos, which means king, or basilikos, which means royal or kingly. So a basilica is the royal kingdom of the king, as it were. Saint Peter the first pope is known as the prince of the apostles, called also the apostle to the Jews. Saint Paul, the first theologian, the apostle of the Gentiles, wrote about half of the New Testament, counting the number of books. Both were martyred in Rome under the persecution of Nero, sometime between 64 and 68 AD. It was the Emperor Constantine who built the great basilicas of Rome in the 4th century, among which were those two massive structures, the first royal kingdoms of the true King, Jesus Christ. In the 4th century, when Constantine relocated to Constantinople and founded the New Rome, as it was called, there were already tensions growing between the Church of Rome in the West and the Church with the seat of the emperor now in the East. An image that became somewhat popular to stamp on coins and other engravings at the time was what's called the Concordia Apostolorum. It's the concord or the harmony of the apostles, where you see both Peter and Paul in these images facing each other, and sometimes even embracing in a fraternal embrace. It was a way of symbolically expressing the spiritual unity of the churches in the East and in the West, and the effort to overcome internal differences between the Western and Eastern churches. So the roots of the Great Schism, which was in 1054 AD between the Catholics and the Orthodox, the roots go back way before 1054. They go back in part to when Constantine moved out of Rome and went east in the 4th century. The temptation to schism, the reality of schism, has been in the church since the beginning. We've talked a little bit about its most recent manifestation this week in our reflections on the SSPX. The solution for overcoming that sin and that temptation is essentially always the same. It's always been the same in every age, in every century, in every epoch. The solution to schism is having the humility to remain in full communion with the Church of the Apostles, which is the Catholic Church, to embrace her teachings, to submit to her governance. Lack of submission can very easily lead to the thousand-year rift, like the one that still exists between the Eastern and the Western churches, or it can lead to the 50-year break, which the church still experiences and suffers from with the disciples of Marcel Lefebvre. How long will their schism last? Only the Lord really knows that answer. The pride of schism brings with it division and discord, which are signs of the presence of the evil one. The humility of unity brings peace and patience, which are fruits of the Holy Spirit's presence. We need to pray for those who are not in harmony or in unity or in peace with the Catholic Church. We need to pray for their repentance, for their conversion as well. The Catechism, when it comments on the saying of the Church Fathers would say, outside the Church, there is no salvation. The Catechism says in number 846, it says, quote, "They cannot be saved who, knowing that the Catholic Church was founded as necessary by God through Christ, would refuse either to enter it or to remain in it," unquote, says the Catechism. Invariably, someone will say to me, well, the SSPX is in the church, right? Well, again, it begs the question, right? What does it mean to be in the church? As a group, the SSPX, their pious union was suppressed by the church in 1975. And as a group who's not worshiping in union with their bishop, was worshiping essentially in opposition to him, are they really remaining in the church? Or if they're celebrating illicit masses, sacrilegiously partaking of the Blessed Sacrament, rejecting Vatican II, calling the Mass of Paul VI evil, are these people really remaining in the church? They're in communion with the church? Question mark. It's not pleasant, not pastorally very nice to point out the obvious, but a number of these criteria could be applied to satanic groups, right? Worshipping in opposition to the bishop, sacrilegious masses, abusing the Blessed Sacrament, rejecting Vatican II, calling the Catholic Mass evil. It's pretty dark and evil stuff in and of itself. Typically, those who are on the conservative or the orthodox side of things in the church point out that being truly pastoral does not mean giving a pass to error or sin or heresy. It's usually not pastoral simply to wink an eye at those things. They need to apply that logic to the traditionalist groups as well. It's not pastoral to give them a wink of an eye and an encouragement, a pat on the back, especially when people are getting lured into their schism. In dialogue with them, yes, you want to point to elements of agreement and work on and pray about the elements of contention, but when talking to the faithful about the reality of their spiritual situation, sugarcoating things only breeds confusion, which is ironically what traditionalists and others complain about the church nowadays. They complain that the church, it's all full of confusion. They actually breed the same thing as well. If we're not in favor of giving a pass, for example, to pro-abortion politicians or to those who are working to normalize homosexuality in the church, we shouldn't be in favor of giving a pass to the SSPX either. Like with any vice, the more you feed it, the more you give in to it, the more power it has over you. So too with the SSPX, really. You have to starve the schism. Don't feed it. Don't go to those places or associate with those people. Don't listen to their apologists, whether they be priests or bishops or lay people or what have you. And please don't feed your soul with those trad videos and podcasts and websites and personalities. Starve the schism and it won't have any power over you. That's the big solution for us. And pray for those who get caught up in it as well, too. There are good people who get caught up in bad things. They need our prayers. And in our mini-series of reflections this week and in our video descriptions, we've given you references to help you have a better understanding of what we know from experience, that this group, that we need to avoid this group, at least until they return to the fold of the church. They're toxic, their spirituality, very toxic. As today's memorial actually reminds us, you have to remain united to the apostles, united to the bishops, in union with the Pope, if you want to obtain salvation. So it's not a question of church shopping or of church hopping or of mass preferences here. It really is a question of eternal life or eternal death. It's serious. Let's ask Our Lady then, through the intercession of the apostles, Saints Peter and Paul, for the conversion of those who willingly place themselves outside of the universal sacrament of salvation, which is the church, the kingdom of God on this earth. Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever. The spirit of remaining on the vine, remaining attached to Christ and to the church. We're going to continue our brief look at the SSPX today by listening to some of Pope St. Paul VI's words to the founder, Marcel Lefebvre. We'll mention two letters addressed to Lefebvre by Paul VI, one from 1975, another one from 1975.